I run for the crown, I race for the prize, I press toward the upward call of God. I run for the crown, I race for the prize, I press toward the upward call of God. I fight with all my might to keep on living for the Christ. I know there is a glorious end in sight. The crown of life, the crown of victory I shall wear. So I sing the song of triumph till I'm there. I run for the crown, I race for the prize, I press toward the upward call of God. I run for the crown, I race for the prize, I press toward the upward call of God. I fight with all my might to keep on living for the Christ. I know there is a glorious end in sight. The crown of life, the crown of victory I shall wear. So I sing the song of triumph till I'm there. I run for the crown, I race for the prize, I press toward the upward call of God.
Good Sunday morning, friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Word of Life radio broadcast brought to you by the Sandrock Church of Christ. I am Jeff Clevenger, your speaker. I am the minister for the Sandrock Church of Christ, and I am excited to have you joining the program this morning. Our topic today is going to come from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. So I hope you've got your Bible handy, and I hope you're willing to take that out and see what God has to say, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what Brother Jeff says. It doesn't matter what anyone's preacher says, or anyone's mama or daddy says, or grandmama or granddaddy says. At the end of the day, it only matters what God says. So always, always, always make sure you're looking at the Word and ensuring what you're being told is 100% truth. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says these words. He said, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you up, stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, let's stop right there for a minute. We live in an age where people are saying, you know, it's been 2,000 years. Jesus hasn't come back. Jesus isn't going to come back. And we're going to continue today with this series of looking at why we need Jesus. Why we need Jesus. And here's the reason why we need Jesus. He's coming back. People are saying he's not coming back, but he's coming back. Listen to what Peter goes on to say. He says, "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the word that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Just like God told Noah he was going to bring a flood against the sinful world of his day, God has let us know that there's a fire coming to consume this world at the end of the age, when God has decided this world needs to stand no more. And then he says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, 2,000 years may seem like a long time to us, but Peter says 2,000 years to God are like 2 days, and 2 days to us are like 2,000 years to God. Time doesn't mean anything to him, so trust me, the Lord is coming back. Friends, that's why we need Jesus, and that's what we're going to be talking about today in our lesson in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. But before we do that, let me take just a moment to tell you about the great group of people that bring this program to you each and every week. This program is brought to you by the San Roque Church of Christ, just a group of Christians that love the Lord, that care about our community, and are dedicated to making a difference. And friends, we want you to know where we meet. We meet at 3633 Alabama Highway 68 in San Roque, Alabama. You'll find us about 3 miles from Leesburg and about 6 miles from Collinsville. We're really easy to find there. And we hope, friends, that you'll come and find us. And so you know when we meet. As of right now, through this Sunday, today, we are meeting at 9:45 a.m. and 11 a.m. for a split service, trying to be safe with COVID-19. We have split the congregation in half, and if you want to come and visit with us, you come to either one. You come to both, 9:45 and 11. We have plans in place to make sure we stay safe and social distance properly. We will also be live streaming those services on our Facebook page, and we are also FM transmitting those services on FM 99.9 to those that may want to come and park in our parking lot. And we'll continue that through this Sunday. There should be an update for the congregation this Sunday as to how we're going to continue going forward. So stay tuned for that, and we'll let you know as soon as we can. On Wednesday night, we have been having a live stream on our Facebook page at 7 p.m., and we'd invite you to take part in that as well. So you know where we meet, you know when we meet, and friends, we want you to know that we love you, we care about you, we are here to help you in any and every way that we can. And we invite you to come and be with us at any chance you may get. All right, folks, it's time for us to dive into our passage for the day. That would be in James chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. And remember what we're talking about, why we need Jesus. And we need Jesus because he is coming back. He's coming back. There's absolutely, positively, no doubt about that. I want you to listen to what James says, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." Why would he say that if it wasn't coming? "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." It is coming, and it is at hand. He says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." He's standing at the door. He's standing at the door. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." All right, that's our passage under consideration for today. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to look at some things. We're going to look at this idea of the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And he uses a couple of things to describe the coming of the Lord to us. And the first thing he says is, it's at hand. It's at hand right now as we speak. Now, it was at hand in James's day, okay? And it's still at hand in our day. And you say, well, that's been 2,000 years. How can it be at hand? Well, remember now, a day is the same to God as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is the same to God as one day. Time means absolutely nothing to God. He exists outside of time. We exist in time. So for us to understand how it works to exist outside of time, we can't really grasp that. But God exists outside of time. He says it is at hand. As far as God is concerned, it's at hand. It's right now. It's imminent. And friends, here's the deal. We don't know. when the end is coming. We don't know when we're going to breathe our last breath. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. We don't know when this world is going to be no more. And we need to live every day as if it is at hand today. We've got to make every day count. We've got to make the most out of every moment that God has given us, because we are not promised another moment. Our life could come to an end. This world could come to an end, and our chances would be gone. Our chances to do anything would be gone. But most importantly, our chance to be obedient to God would be gone. So when I asked you this morning, are you where you need to be where God is concerned? I hope you are. But if you're not, remember, His returning is at hand, and you need to be where you need to be with God so that you're ready for Him to return. So that's the first way He describes it. He says it's at hand. And then here's the second way He describes it. He says it's like a judge standing at the door. He's a judge standing at the door. Now, I mean, He ultimately is going to judge us, and He's told us that it's going to be His word that's going to judge us. So we have His word. We know what the judgment is going to be based on. In other words, friends, we are going to be taking an open book test. We have all the answers. We have all the answers, but if we don't get in the book and if we don't learn what the answers are, then we're not going to be able to pass the test. You know, I got a daughter that's going to be turning 15 next Sunday, and she's going to want to take that test and get that driver's permit. You know what? And she's got the book. All she's got to do is study. All she's got to do is be ready. And when the time comes, she'll take the test, and it won't be a problem at all. But she's got to be ready. Friends, we've got to be ready. The judge is standing at the door. The pattern, what's acceptable, has already been established. And are we living our life as if the judge is standing at the door? That's important. Do you get what He's trying to tell us here? Judgment's at hand. It's imminent. It's coming. And we need to be living as if it's coming right now. Right now. Now, we don't know when it's coming. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24, I believe it is, that, you know, no man knows the day that the world is coming to an end. Not even He knew it at that point, but the Father only. And He says it's going to come as a thief in the night. We're not going to know when it comes. We're not going to be able to see it coming. So, friends, we need to live as if today is the last day we've got. And He says, listen, He gives us an example of the farmer. And what He wants us to know is, just as sure as harvest comes at the end of sowing, so Jesus is going to come back at the end of this old world. So based on that, what should we be sowing? I think that's a question we need to ask. What should we be sowing? There's no doubt He's coming back. It's at hand. The judge is standing at the door. It's just as sure as if you plant your crop that there's going to be a harvest at the end of that season. When due time has come, when everything has played out the way it's supposed to play out on the timetable that God has established, it's going to happen. So what do we need to be sowing to be ready for that day of reaping? What do we need to be sowing to be ready for the day of harvest? So I'm going to entitle this next section, Are You Ready? Are you ready? And He gives us some things that we need to look at to ensure that we're ready. And here's the first one. He says we need to be patient. We need to be patient. And I want you to know what He means by that. What He means is that you're able to endure whatever for as long as it takes. You're able to just stand up and endure and keep on enduring and keep on enduring and keep on enduring and keep on enduring. That's what He's talking about here. You're able to take on whatever comes your way for the cause of Jesus Christ. You're able to take on whatever comes your way because you love God and you love His appearing and you can't wait for Jesus to come back and you're looking forward to going home. And that is the most important thing to you. Are you willing to stand up and endure whatever the world throws at you? Are you willing to stand up and endure whatever Satan throws at you? Are you willing to stand up and endure whatever it takes? Whatever it takes. That's what he's talking about there when he's talking about patience. You know, my kids, my oldest, the one's about to turn 15, she, every time she leads a prayer at the house, we kind of rotate and we let the girls lead prayers. And she always prays for my patience and my wife's patience. And I know what she means by that, because we're a little bit older now. We're not as patient as we used to be. And she wants us to be patient with them. And I get that. I do get that. But what he's talking about here with patience is just being able to stand up and endure and understand something. We can't stand up and endure on our own. We need God to stand up and endure. We need our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to stand up and endure. We need the Word of God to stand up and endure. We need everything that God has given us to help us to stand up and endure. But are you doing it? Are you being patient? Are you seeing it all the way through? That's what it's all about. And here's number two. He says, okay, test your patience. See if you're standing up. And look at your heart. He says, establish your hearts. Friends, brethren, everything in Christianity comes down to a heart issue. Because something or someone is going to reign on the throne of our heart. And the one that should be reigning on the throne of our heart is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and no other. We shouldn't reign on the throne of our heart. Our spouse shouldn't reign on the throne of our heart. Our children, our grandchildren shouldn't reign on the throne of our heart. It doesn't matter. Nothing should take a higher spot in our mind and in our heart than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Where's your heart at? You know, Jesus said, where a man's heart at, that's where his treasure is also. If your heart's with Jesus, then that's where your treasure is. It's going to be with Jesus. But if your heart's somewhere else, that's where your treasure's going to be. And let me ask you something. When this world stands no more, what's going to be left? Absolutely, positively nothing. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to be left. Is that what we're pursuing? Is that what's the most important thing to us? Is that what exists in the core of our heart? Is that what sits on the throne of our heart? You know, the Proverbs writer wrote on one occasion, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is in our heart, what is in our mind is going to dictate who we are. What is in our heart and what is in our mind is going to dictate eventually what we're going to do, what we're going to say, what direction we're going to go. So our heart's important. Our heart's important. We got to teach it. We got to train it. We've got to show it the way. And that means we got to be in God's Word. That means we got to be on our knees in prayer. That means we got to spend time around people that have the right kind of heart and not spend time around people that don't have the right kind of heart. You know, we got to choose wisely our friends. And listen, we're supposed to seek and to save the lost, and that's true. And we've got to spend time with people in order to do that. But we've got to be careful who we allow in our inner circle, because we need people that are going to help us to have the kind of heart that we need to have. So we got to be patient, he says, and we've got to establish our hearts. And then number three just really should hit home with all of us right now with what's going on in our world. Do not grumble against one another. Do not grumble against one another. I tell you what, I wish this world could find the love that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I wish this kind of world, this world could find the kind of love that John talks about in John 3:16 when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us enough to send his Son to die for us. God loves us enough to be patient and long-suffering with us. I wish our world could find that kind of love, because a lot of what we're seeing in our world right now, we wouldn't see. A lot of what we're seeing in our world right now, we wouldn't see. Racism wouldn't exist. Violence wouldn't exist. Mistreating and lying and cheating and stealing, those things wouldn't exist if we loved each other the way we're supposed to love each other. Because if we love the way we're supposed to love, then we're going to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to love God with everything we've got. And if we love God with everything we've got and we're pursuing God with everything we've got, then all those things of the world that pull us apart and divide us, those things are just going to disappear into the dust. Jesus also said the second commandment was likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to teach the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he used the most hated group of people, the most hated race of people that the Jews knew to say, you know, when the man says, well, teacher, who is my neighbor? And he gives that long parable about this Samaritan that comes upon this man that's been beaten and left for dead and robbed, and this man's already been passed by a priest. This man's already been passed over by a Levi that didn't want to help him. And here comes this Samaritan, this lowly, hated Samaritan that puts him on his own animal and takes him to an inn and cares for him. And when he has to leave to go take care of business, he leaves money with the innkeeper and says, take care of him. And when I come back, I'll pay you whatever it costs you to take care of him. And at the end of the parable, Jesus said, so who was neighbor to the man that fell by the wayside there, that fell injured? And he said, well, I guess the one that showed love and compassion to him. And that's the answer. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. And you don't let race dictate who's your neighbor. You don't let educational level dictate who's your neighbor. You don't let money dictate who's your neighbor. You don't let any of those things dictate who's your neighbor. Everybody's your neighbor. And all of us have been created in the image of God. And that makes us all special. And Jesus Christ came and shed his blood for all of us. And that makes us all special. So friends, we've got to stop grumbling against one another. And Christians, we need to lead the way. We don't need to be involved in the grumbling. We need to lead the way. We need to point to Jesus Christ. We need to show the world that there is a better way. There's a better way. We don't need all the strife that's going on right now. We need to be united. We need to be together. We need to understand that we're all facing things like COVID-19. COVID-19 doesn't care about anything. It's affecting all of us. And we need to stand together. And who knows what this world is going to face in the future. Friends, we've got to learn to love one another. We've got to learn to stand together. We've got to quit grumbling over so many things. And most of them don't even matter. All right, so he's told us what we need to do to be ready. We need to be patient. We need to be standing up under whatever we need to. We need to establish our hearts. We got to get our heart and mind where it needs to be. And we've got to stop grumbling against one another. We got to love the way we're supposed to love. And if we'll love the way we're supposed to, because our heart's established the way it's supposed to, then we'll be patient. We'll stand up under anything that we have to stand up under. There's no doubt about it. There's no worry about it. We know we're going to see it all the way through. So we've looked at the coming of the Lord, and we've looked at this idea of are you ready? And I want to finish this lesson off by talking about, I'm going to title it Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. He gives us some examples in here. Number one, he says the farmer. And the farmer's a good example. Farmer plants that seed, and you know he wants that harvest. But he knows there's a pattern. He knows there's a plan. He knows there's a way. And he knows there's things that's got to happen. That seed's got to get in the ground. And that seed needs sunshine. And it needs rain. And it needs oxygen. And it needs nutrients. And it needs all kinds of things in order to grow. And in order to thrive. And in order to flourish. And there's things it doesn't need. It doesn't need weeds growing up and choking it out. It doesn't need animals getting in there and ripping it up and tearing it to shreds. So he's got to watch out over it. He's got to protect it. He's got to take care of it. He's got to work it, and 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 he's got to work it today, knowing he's not going to see the results today. And he's got to work it tomorrow, knowing he's not going to see the results tomorrow. And he's got to work it next week, knowing he's not going to see it next week. But knowing that one day, One day, if he endures long enough, if he sees it through long enough, he'll be able to reap his reward. He will be able to pull in that harvest and enjoy the fruits of his labor and enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. So we need to look to the farmer. And we've got farmers in our world today. We've got farmers, especially in our community here, that we could talk to them about what it is to be patient, about what it is to endure whatever comes, and seeing it through all the way to the end. So he points at a farmer, an example in their day. And then he also points to the prophets, the men of old that preached the gospel. Well, not the gospel, preached the message of God. Preached what God wanted them to preach, brought the message that he wanted them to bring, pointed to the gospel message that was going to come in Jesus Christ, the good news. And those prophets, by and large, were never accepted. Those prophets, by and large, were never listened to. Those prophets, by and large, were persecuted, mistreated, killed for the message that they brought, but they kept bringing it. And they kept preaching it, and they kept teaching it, and they kept doing it no matter what. And I can't help but think of the prophet that once said, you know, he wanted to give it up. He said, I'm going to give it up. I believe it was Jeremiah. I'm going to quit. I can't do this anymore. And he said, but you know what? The word of God was like a fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't hold it back. I had to let it out. I had to preach it. I had to teach it. I had to get it out there. He's saying, you look at the prophets. They know how to be patient. They know how to endure. Their hearts were in the right place, or they never would have gone through what they went through. And they certainly didn't grumble. They did what God wanted them to do, and they did it out of a love for the people that they were preaching it to. So look at the prophets, look at the farmers, look at the prophets. Then he says, look at Job. And boy, when we talk about patience in our world today, don't we use Job as an example? We always say of somebody that we think exhibits patience, oh, he's got the patience of Job. God knew what kind of man Job was. God knew that even if Satan took away every earthly possession he had, including his children, that he wouldn't turn on God. And Satan was allowed to do that, and Job didn't turn on God. God knew that Job was the kind of man that even when he was stricken with a horrible disease, and even when his wife looked at him and says, why don't you just curse God and die, that he was the kind of man that was going to stand up and see it through. Now, he didn't understand what was going on, and he questioned God about what was going on, but he never gave up his faith in God. And when you're talking about endurance, you're talking about Job went through the worst of the worst. With the exception of forfeiting his life, he went through the worst of the worst, and he stood up to it. He endured it, and he stayed faithful to God. Friends, that's what we've got to do. We've got to stand up, endure it, and stay faithful to God. And ultimately, we point to Jesus Christ, and ultimately we point to God. He says the Lord, he tells us a lot of things about the Lord in this passage. He says he's coming back, he's at hand, he's standing at the door, and he finishes off our section today by saying he's compassionate and he's merciful. And that's the truth. He is compassionate. He is merciful. And when Jesus was about to die the cruel death on the cross, he knew he was leaving his disciples, and he knew they'd be troubled. And in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I am coming back to take you home to be with me. Friends, don't doubt that a bit. We need Jesus Christ because he's coming back, and he's taking those that are his home. Don't you want to go home with Jesus? Friends, make sure you're right with God so that you can go home and be with Jesus. Well, I hate to say it, but our time is up for this week. Friends, we love you. We care about you. We hope you have a great weekend. We want to thank you for joining us today. And if you ever need us, please reach out. Have a great weekend, everybody.
What do you ask of me to follow?
love you till forever, and be always close to thee. O Jesus, my Savior, your servant I will be. Jesus, my Savior, you give so much to me. You sacrifice your own life to set all sinners free. Now I have a hope of heaven to spend all eternity. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, you give so much to me. Jesus, my Savior, what do you want with me? To set forth an example so others they might see that Jesus.